You're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
What's going on, everybody? We are live with another Wednesday edition of Underground Sports Philadelphia. I am your host tonight, and only host tonight, because, once again, if you didn't see on Facebook, Dom's on another cross-country Tinder date. But I'm your host, Kyle Bennett. We have a lot to get into tonight regarding the Eagles, because the draft was this past week, and we have a lot of draft recap to do, and we also have some Phillies news to break down, as the Phillies are kind of slumping right now, and they play tonight, and we'll get that starting lineup to you as soon as we can. But before we get into the show, want to give a special shout-out to our sponsor, who is bringing you the show tonight, and that is Main Auto LLC, family-owned and operated since 1990. And they provide complete automotive and light truck repair. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you need your car worked on, give them a call, 856-691-6878. That's 856-691-6878. But yeah, let's get into tonight's show. So we have a lot to cover. And if you're just joining us, welcome, welcome, welcome. But we have a lot to get into. So the draft was this past weekend, and the Eagles, I think, had a really great draft. As I'm pulling up the chat. And come join us. Come join us. But, you know, the Eagles, I think they had a really great draft. They moved out of the first round to acquire a second-round pick next year from the Baltimore Ravens, and I think that was a fantastic move by Howie Roseman, Joe Douglas, everybody involved in that deal, because you allowed a team that was desperate for their next, you know, quarterback of their franchise to fall to Baltimore. You're sitting in a position where you don't really have to take anybody. You're really, you know, set on where you're at. You don't really have to worry about taking a player at 32. So you move up in the fourth round this year, and you get a second round pick next year. So now you have two second round picks in 2019. You have the move up in round four to allow you to do some things, and I think that trade was fantastic. I think they did a really nice job with that, and whoever decided to say, hey, let's move down with Baltimore and allow Baltimore to go get Lamar Jackson, I think it's a fantastic fit for both teams. And if you're just joining us, what's up, Mom, and what's up, Dalton? Thanks for joining the chat. But we're talking NFL draft right now, so if you have draft comments, questions, anything, we're talking all things NFL draft recap. But as I was saying, you know, the Eagles, with moving out of that first round spot and going and getting Dallas Goedert in the second round, which, you know, Dom and I kind of touched on this on Saturday because it happened on Thursday, with Goedert, I think he's, you know, a hybrid of Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce. And if you know anything about Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce, that's a freak athlete playing the tight end position. And I think that with, you know, the talent that he has, he's going to be a red zone nightmare for every single person that the Eagles play. You're going to have Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert on the field at the same time in the red zone. And I think it's going to be a nightmare with them, Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Wallace. If you missed the news earlier, Marcus Wheaton is now an Eagle. He could be somebody that has a shot at making the team as a punt returner and possibly as a number 5 wide receiver. Darren Sproles is back as well. So there's a lot of weapons. Mac Hollins, Nelson Agholor, who his fifth-year option was picked up recently. That's a great, great thing for Agholor. And I think the Eagles draft overall, I'd give them an A. They did a fantastic job. And looking at Dalton here, Bo Scarbo was on my draft board for the Eagles since day one. And the fact that he goes to the Cowboys, where he's going to be kind of, you know, limited behind Zeke, it pisses me off, because it's like, there goes a talented guy who's going to be behind Zeke now, not really getting enough time to shine, and I think he can be a really talented player in this league, as long as he's healthy, definitely. I think that's a huge key for him, but I think he could be the next coming of Derrick Henry if he's healthy and really translates to the NFL game well, and the Cowboys definitely got a good steal there, and that's also dependent, you know, if Zeke can stay on the field with his issues off the field and everything. But I think Bo Scarbo falling as far as he did is a fantastic pick, no matter who was going to take him. And I was pissed that he ended up on the Cowboys. But looking at, you know, Dallas Goedert, getting back to him, I think him coming into the fold to join with, like I said, Alshon, Ertz, Mike Wallace, Nelson Agholor, you know, Richard Rodgers as the third tight end, Darren Sproles, Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi. There's just so many weapons that Carson Wentz has now when he's back healthy, and if he doesn't start the season, Nick Foles is going to be able to utilize them perfectly, and the Eagles are going to be the worst possible nightmare for any NFL defense with all these weapons. And with the way that Doug likes to prepare for teams and likes to, you know, put out packages, I can only imagine what's going to happen with Ertz and Goddard on the field at the same time. And I think it's a fantastic pick, and I thought it was hilarious. You know, there's GoFundMe accounts to get his name changed from Dallas to Philly, and I think it's a fantastic thing that they were able to trade up in front of Dallas, in Dallas, to draft Dallas. And yeah, I think he's going to be limited for sure, and I think he'll get some goal. Yeah, I think that's a great point, Dalton. Him getting goal line touches is going to be the best possible opportunity for him. You know, if they're driving and they get inside the five, why not throw Bo Scarbo in there? It's pretty much what you did with DeMarco Murray years ago when he was on the Cowboys, and it's what the Titans have done with Derrick Henry, even with Murray there. So I think that's a good point. I think he'll definitely get some goal line touches, and he could be a sneaky player that way. And, you know, fantasy owners, don't worry. We're bringing you fantasy podcasts too here on Underground Sports Philadelphia in the very near future. But I think fantasy owners are going to have to worry about that with Zeke if they do end up doing that. And he could be somebody that steals a lot of touchdown opportunities for Zeke. And my mom chimes in saying the Eagles are set to repeat. I definitely think they are. I think there's no real weak spots on the Eagles right now. As we get further into what they did in the draft, we'll go over that as well. But I think the Eagles, position by position, you can't really name a flaw. There's no weak spots. There's no real cause for concern, especially after this draft. And, you know, with the draft picks that the Eagles were able to get and able to bring into the nest, I think it was a fantastic draft for Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas once again. And I think they're all going to contribute. So, as I pull up the Eagles draft, there's, you know, a lot going around the league now, and, you know, the kickoff rule I'll get into a little bit. I don't even know all the logistics about that either, but, let's pull up the Eagles draft here 1 second. But as we look at the Eagles draft, and this is from Jimmy Kemsky at Philly Voice, but like we said, Dallas Goedert in the second round. Avante Maddox, I like that pick a lot for the Eagles. I think that he could be really interesting there, and he's going to kind of fill in for that Patrick Robinson role, be that slot guy, and really be physical for the Eagles on defense. He can be that physical corner that they need. And he's going to really shine. I think he's a nice pickup in the fourth round. And then five picks later, I think they got the steal of their draft, taking Josh Sweat from Florida State, who a lot of people had a first-round grade on Josh Sweat. I think that he's going to be fantastic paired with Derek Barnett for the long term, for the short term, anywhere. And the Eagles are now too deep on the offensive line. And a little Phillies update. Before we get into our Phillies talk, Cesar Hernandez just led the game off against the Marlins with a home run, so the Phillies are leading 1-0, and I'll try to bring you live updates of that game as much as I can. But getting back to the Eagles draft talk, I think Josh Sweat being there in the fourth round at pick number 130 was a fantastic move by Howie to go and get him, where so many teams balked on him and didn't take him because of the knee issue. And if you don't know, Josh Sweat, I believe it was when he was a senior in high school, tore up his whole knee. Pretty much Dante Culpepper'd it, where he tore his ACL, his MCL, his PCL, and dislocated his knee entirely. He said it in a quote from Jeff McClain a few days ago during the draft. He said that he almost lost his leg from the injury, which is crazy to think about. And the fact that he's still able to play football, and if you go watch his film, it's insane. He's amazing. His spider graph that I saw from Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation, go check him out for sure. He delivers insane draft analysis, as well as our buddy Liam Jenkins. He was raving over the pick, and the more I dove into it, Josh Sweat is going to be a force on this defense. So you look at the Eagles' defensive line right now. Your starters are going to be Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham on the outside, Timmy Jernigan, who we'll get into a little bit because he also played this whole season with an injury, just like Alshon Jeffrey did. And then you have Fletcher Cox, obviously, in the middle with Jernigan. And then you go to your second rotation, you're going to have Josh Sweat, Chris Long, Haloti Ngata, and I forget who the other backup defensive tackle is right now off the top of my head, but Michael Bennett's going to be in there too. The defensive line is just insanely deep, and I think that the Eagles are just doing a fantastic job at loading up on talent, even at positions that they don't necessarily need that talent at. And Josh Sweat is probably my favorite pick of this draft. And looking at the rest of the draft, Matt Pryor, offensive tackle from TCU, and Jordan Mailata, the rugby guy from Australia, who's just a beast. But a lot of people had a fourth-round grade on Matt Pryor, so to see him fall to the sixth round was a nice pick. And unfortunately, the Eagles weren't able to land our friend Jameel Demby, but he did get drafted, and I'll get into that before we segue into baseball talk, because we were at his draft party. If you haven't seen that video, go check it out, because we have the first interview of his NFL career right up on our Facebook page here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. But catching up on the comments, Dalton, you know, I definitely agree. Can't lie. You know, the Eagles don't really have any weak spots. My dad chimes in, says the Eagles haven't been feared since the days of Reggie White. Hot take right there. I think that's a great point, though. I don't think this defense really got respected last year. I think going into this year, they're definitely going to have to put some respect on their name, as Birdman would say. What's up, Ed? Thanks for joining us tonight. And my dad also says now every team is worried and better do their homework. Yeah, teams are going to have the game plan for the Eagles like never before. And I think it's going to be real interesting to see what teams are going to do against them this season. And as I go back here real quick, but yeah, I think the Eagles with Matt Pryor, he's a nice depth piece. It shows that they have a lot of faith in Halapulavati Vaitai. Shows they have a lot of faith in Jason Peters' recovery. And it's just another, you know, depth piece to get him in the sixth round. And then I think the rugby guy that they took, what a luxury pick. Jordan Mailata, rugby guy from Australia, I think he's just a force. He's like 380 pounds or something like that, but he's just like 250 of just lean muscle, and he just bullies through people. We might have to put a video of him up on this page here or on our Instagram or something like that, but he's just a force. I think that that's just one of those things. When you're the Super Bowl champs, you can have luxury picks like that, and I think that's a nice pick that they're going to try to transition him to the offensive line, and it reminds me a lot of Alejandro Villanueva, now of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that the Eagles tried to convert him to an offensive lineman after he was a wide receiver at Army. 6'8", same height as Mailata, and I think it's going to be interesting to see him transition into the NFL game, because he has no clue how the NFL works. So it'll be real interesting to see what they do with him. But overall, I think the Eagles had a really solid draft, really went after positions of need, but also with the best player available on the board for them at that time. So overall, I'd give the Eagles an A on their draft grade. Dallas Goedert, Josh Sweat are definitely my favorite picks of the draft. And once again, shout out to David Akers because he brought it. David Akers brought it, and we'll plug that into this episode. And I think we also have it plugged into one of our episodes on Saturday because there's going to be four audio files on SoundCloud for you guys from Saturday with our marathon of a broadcast. But as I pull up the Eagles, or I should pull up everybody else's draft because the New York Giants had a really good draft, I think. The Cowboys, not too high on their draft, to be honest. And not too high on the Redskins draft either. But as we look into the New York Giants, who I think had a really nice draft, as much as it pains me to say, and as much as people want to criticize them for taking Saquon Barkley, I think that the Giants had a really nice draft. And Ed chimes in the chat. He says, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I have to say the Eagles are a force to be worried about for years to come. That's what I like to hear, Ed. Fear us. Be afraid. Because the Eagles are here, and they're here to stay for a long time coming, and it's going to be fun. Sorry about that if you can hear that. Advertisements are the worst. No, they're not. They bring in the money so we can upgrade the show, just as we have over the past couple of weeks. But yeah, so the Giants go round one. They go running back Saquon Barkley. Great pick. I enjoy watching Penn State football, and I think Barkley is a force. If the Giants can ever upgrade their offensive line and their quarterback, Saquon's going to be scary, to say the least. I think he can be better than Zeke. I think he can be better than a lot of running backs in this league, and I'm a huge Saquon fan. Don't get me wrong, but I was thrilled that the Giants took him because right now they don't have a plan on the offensive line, and they don't have a plan at quarterback. But Saquon goes number one to them with the second overall pick. And then they back it up with a really solid pick with UTEP offensive guard Will Hernandez. He's going to be there for a long time, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with on the interior of their offensive line as they start kind of building it from the inside out because they don't have tackles. So Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat, Derek Barnett, Chris Long, Michael Bennett, they're all going to feast on Eli Manning twice this year. And then round three, they go Georgia outside linebacker Lorenzo Carter. Solid pick. It's a really good value there in the third round. Possible steal. And that's a really nice pick for them. And then their other third round pick, NC State defensive tackle BJ Hill. He's pretty athletic. He's a former running back. And that's going to be an interesting pick there to see how he turns out. And then the Giants go get a quarterback, Kyle Lauletta from Richmond. And it's going to be really interesting to see him and Davis Webb kind of battling for the backup spot for Eli Manning. And whoever wins that out could end up being their quarterback of the future, who knows. But they get him in the fourth round, and then they go defensive tackle again with Miami's RJ McIntosh. Nice pick. It's interesting to see them take two defensive tackles, but that was the draft for the Giants. The New York Daily News gives them an overall draft grade of a B. I'd say B minus, just because they kind of waited on the quarterback spot when they had the opportunity to, you know, move up potentially and get Lamar Jackson. They had the opportunity to go and get Mason Rudolph, although I'm not that high on Mason Rudolph, but he was available for them to kind of trade up and move and go get. But it'll be interesting to see what the Giants do, for sure. And as I kind of pull up the Cowboys draft, because it seems like I have some Cowboys trolls in here with Dalton and Ed tonight. We'll go over the Cowboys draft for you guys. I don't think they had that great of a draft. I don't know what you think. Cowboys, they go Leighton Vander Esch. I banged the table for him last week with Liam. Liam was also on board with Leighton Vander Esch, but the more you dive into it, he's Sean Lee 2.0. He can't stay healthy. He's got the neck and spinal injury. I think he's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a great player. I think that he's going to be really interesting for the Cowboys if he can stay healthy. And that's the big key. That's the big key for their entire linebacking core is if they can stay healthy. And right now, there's no evidence of him being able to do so. So right now, Leighton Vander Esch is a coin flip type of a pick. And we'll see how he pans out. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I could be eating my words once the season starts and he's on the field. But right now, I'm not a big fan of them taking Van Der Esch, especially with Sean Lee being in the fold for them. And I was mistaken. Scarbo is in the seventh round, not the sixth. That's crazy. But round two, they go offensive lineman from Texas, Connor Williams. That's a nice pick. It's a nice depth piece to kind of start rebuilding their offensive line as they get older. Round three, Michael Gallup from Colorado State. They get a wide receiver. I don't think the wide receiver core for the Cowboys is anything to be worried about. I think the Cowboys have really dropped the ball in recent years on wide receiver. And I guess that's going to be somebody that they try to develop a little bit, being a round three pick. He could turn into something, but their wide receiver core right now, there's no veterans that are really worthy of anything. Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams, I think it is, because he's so irrelevant, I can't even remember his name right now. They both are not anything to really worry about. I mean, Cole Beasley can hurt you, but he's not like, you know, a top five wide receiver. So I'm not too worried about the Cowboys wide receivers right now, especially with the Eagles corners that they have. Sidney Jones is essentially our first round pick this year, and our third round pick is Ronald Darby because we traded our third round pick for him. The Eagles corners are extremely good, and I'm not worried about any wide receiver except maybe Odell, and that's if he's healthy. Round four, Cowboys go defensive end Durante Armstrong and Dalton Schultz, the tight end. Schultz is a nice pickup. He's comped to Zach Ertz. He went to the same school as Zach Ertz, so I think that's a nice pick, especially with Jason Witten retiring. And I'm intrigued to see Witten on Monday Night Football in the booth. I think he can be a real nice asset for ESPN. Ed chiming in again. I think they're trying to go small with wide receivers like the Patriots. That's a good point. I don't really think it's a good idea for them, because Dak's not really that great of a quarterback with his track record. I think he had the one good year, his rookie year, because of Zeke being what he was. And he kind of got to play off of that. But I don't think that, you know, them going small at wide receiver helps. And it's just because Dak's arm strength isn't what everyone thought it was going to be. He's a poor man's Alex Smith. I've said this time and time again. And that's why he was a fourth-round draft pick. But the Cowboys, if they want to compete, they're going to have to do something this year. Like, they're going to have to really drastically improve that offense, because time's ticking on Dak's rookie contract before they're going to have to pay him. And once you do that, you're kind of screwed as a franchise. And that's why I'm glad the Eagles are doing what they're doing now, before they have to pay Carson Wentz and things kind of start, you know, picking and choosing on who you sign and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the Cowboys, I think, are in trouble. To be honest, I think they're heading south more and more with the talent on their team. Mike White, they go quarterback in round five. Again, don't know why. You drafted a quarterback just a few years ago. It's interesting to see them go quarterback in round five. Chris Covington, a linebacker from Indiana, and Cedric Wilson, a wide receiver from Boise State, go in round six. And then Bo Scarbo in round seven. Truthfully, guys, I think their best picks were round two with Connor Williams, and round seven with Bo Scarbo. Cowboys, I'm giving you a C-minus draft grade. NFL.com has you given has you with an A. I terribly, terribly disagree. I would go C-minus based off of what you guys needed. And I like Dalton Schultz. I think he can be a nice piece, but overall, I think the Cowboys, I'll give you a C, maybe a C-plus in your draft. Let's go to the Redskins. Round one, they reached so hard for Daron Payne, because Vita Vea went right before at 12 to Tampa Bay, and they reached so hard for a defensive tackle. That's a terrible pick. Terrible, terrible pick. Round two, they didn't. Round two was Darius Geis. Okay. I didn't realize he was a second round pick. I thought he was third round, but Darius Geis goes round two. Round three is Garen Christian. Round four is Troy Apke from Penn State. Round five is Tim Settle, another defensive tackle from Virginia Tech. Round six is Sean Dion Hamilton, the linebacker from Alabama. Round seven, they had two picks with Greg Stroman, the corner from Virginia Tech, and then a wide receiver, Trey Quinn from SMU. Man, the Redskins had such a bad draft, guys. The Redskins had such a bad draft, in my opinion. Daron Payne, such a reach. I don't think he's going to be that good. He was more of a second round pick and or a late first round pick, in my opinion. NFL.com gives him an A-. I'm giving the Redskins a C-. They didn't really go after what they needed. They needed a wide receiver. They didn't get one till round 7. They go and get a safety, which was nice in round 4. I like Troy Apke. It's a nice value pick there. Darius Geis, from all the reports and everything, seems like he's a headache, and I think he ended up in the worst possible spot going to Washington because there's no leadership outside of Alex Smith being there, but this is his first year there. So Washington is just in shambles, and I'm laughing because it's just silly what they did, and they overpaid Alex Smith, didn't pay Kirk Cousins, and lost a really talented corner to go and get Alex Smith, and it's just funny. And then we already went over the Giants draft. NFL.com gives them a B+. I would give them B+, maybe an A-, maybe an A-. And then they have the Eagles with a B+. I don't know why. I think the Eagles had an A draft. But I think overall, the division got a lot better. I think this division's going to be really competitive for the next, like, 5-6 years overall with the players that are in it right now and the players that could be coming. I think the steal of the draft was Howie Roseman getting a 2019 second-round pick, and I'd have to agree with Dalton with the Cowboys getting Bo Scarborough in the 7th round. That's a steal and a half, and I think, you know, if he ends up getting logjammed behind Zeke, he could end up, you know, being a trade piece for a draft pick down the line to a team that may need a running back, but I think he can fill some nice roles for the Cowboys on the goal line. But looking at the Eagles draft again, you know, everyone was preaching for Darius Geis, preaching for Ronald Jones, preaching for Bo Scarborough, preaching for a running back in general. They didn't get a running back. It's okay, though, because they brought Mighty Mouse back. Darren Sproles is back on a 1-year deal for 2018, so relax, he's home where he belongs. Immediately after the draft ended, the announcement was made that he'd be back, and it's just a nice piece. Like, Darren Sproles, you know, he played for the Chargers, he played for the Saints. In my mind, he's a Philadelphia Eagle. Like, when you think Darren Sproles right now, for anybody that has seen Sproles in his career overall, when you think of his name, you think Philadelphia Eagles, in my opinion. And that's all bias aside of being an Eagles fan. That's, you know, all of that taken into account. I think Darren Sproles goes down in history as a Philadelphia Eagle. He won a championship with us now, even though he wasn't on the field for it. And I think that him being back is fantastic for the running back room. You put him, Ajayi Clement. I don't think Wendell Smallwood's going to be back. I don't think Donnell Pumphrey's going to be here. But the Eagles did sign a running back as an undrafted free agent, too, and they gave him a lot of money. I think it was a nice signing as well. He's the running back from Notre Dame, Josh Adams, and he's kind of a power back. He might fill that LeGarrette Blount role if he makes the team, and you know, I think he could be a real nice piece to kind of take over Wendell Smallwood's roster spot. And then you kind of roll out with 4 running backs again with Ajayi Clement, Sproles, and Josh Adams. I think that would be a fantastic running back lineup for the Eagles this year, and it's kind of similar to what it was last year, except Wendell Smallwood's gone because I don't think he's good at football. He's very flashy, but not flashy enough, and I think the Eagles will be better off getting rid of him, getting his salary cap space back, and moving on and admitting the mistake that he was as a pick. Marcus Wheaton, too. As we said at the top of the show, Marcus Wheaton is a Philadelphia Eagle. He was signed today to a 1-year contract. I think it's kind of just a camp body for training camp and OTAs, but he might have a chance to make it as the second punt returner. You never know. I think a lot of people overvalued Marcus Wheaton when he was with Pittsburgh. He had that one, you know, flashy season with Ben Roethlisberger, and then he goes to Chicago and he's terrible. Who knows? I mean, if he makes the team, Carson Wentz could make him look like, you know, an all-pro. But I think he could have a chance at making it as a punt or a kick returner, you know, with Sproles and the injury. You may not want to put him out there all the time. But I think that Marcus Wheaton's a nice depth piece at wide receiver for this team, so he gets signed today to a one-year deal, and that was via the Eagles' Twitter. So, Marcus Wheaton, welcome to Philadelphia, man. And before we move on to Philly's talk, our buddy Jameel Demby was drafted this weekend, man. He went 192nd overall to the LA Rams. So proud of that kid, man. Growing up, watching him play at Gatone Stadium for like 3 years. You know, he's my sister's age. So he graduated 2014 from Vineland High School. Just to see like his evolution as a person, as a player, and to now see him in the NFL is just an awesome thing. Couldn't be prouder of him. And even though he's in LA, he's definitely part of the Underground Sports Philadelphia family. No matter what, and we're going to have him on the show again soon. But if you missed out on his first career interview of his NFL career, go check that out. It's on our Facebook page. It's pinned to the top of the page. It's some good stuff, and we're all so thrilled for him, and we can't wait to watch him play for the LA Rams. But, you know, we're obviously cheering for the Eagles when they play them this season on December 16th. Maybe we'll head out to LA to go watch that game. Who knows? Who knows? But before we get into some Phillies talk, let me tell you guys about our friends at the Greek Orthodox Church of St. Anthony. Their annual Greek festival is coming up. It's May, guys. Happy May. This is our first show in the month of May. But Memorial Day weekend, May 24th to the 27th, join St. Anthony's Greek Orthodox Church for a weekend of food, fun, rides, and great music. Every Memorial Day weekend from Thursday to Sunday, St. Anthony's Greek Orthodox community celebrates its most popular Greek festival with homemade authentic Greek foods, music, dancing, homemade authentic Greek foods, music, dancing, sorry, Greek artifacts, and groceries, rides for kids, raffles, church tours, and plenty of love and smiles for the residents of Vineland and the visitors from all around the Delaware Valley. The festival, over its many years, has been one of the most anticipated events in southern New Jersey and draws crowds that leave filled with an experience that they cannot get anywhere else in the area. I can attest to this. This festival is awesome. Come celebrate with us, with your family and friends. Definitely go check that out, Memorial Day weekend, because it's going to be a lot of fun. Go fill your stomachs. The food is phenomenal. You don't want to miss it, so definitely go check them out, May 24th to the 27th. And if you're just joining us, welcome to the joining us on the Facebook Live feed of the broadcast. Welcome aboard. This show is brought to you by Main Auto LLC in Vineland, New Jersey, as you can see in the video description. But we're going to get into some Phillies talk right now because the Phillies are struggling, guys. They are struggling mightily. They've lost three series in a row now. They dropped last night to the Marlins to lose the series. There's no excuse for them losing a series to the Miami Marlins. That team blew their team up into smithereens, trading Stanton, Yelich, Ozuna, D. Gordon, and we've talked about that plenty of times on this show, and I think it's just so crazy that we continue to lose to the Marlins. We're 2-3 against them this year. We continue to lose to the Braves, and that's going to be a huge thing looking back at this Philly season. If they end up missing the playoffs, it's going to be the record against the NL East. They're fantastic against everyone else outside of that Diamondbacks series because the Diamondbacks are the best team in baseball, for crying out loud. They have 20 or 21 wins to start the season. It's absurd. But the Phillies are going to have to start winning games that they should win again. Reese Hoskins looks uncomfortable at the plate right now. Carlos Santana is still not hitting, but he's going to heat up. Don't worry. April and May, he's very slow to get started, and once, you know, the warm months come around, once the weather starts getting like it has been today and the next 4 days, definitely go outside after the show's done because it's beautiful out. Santana's going to start hitting. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. That contract's going to pay off. I don't think Reese Hoskins should be hitting in the two hole, to be honest. Yeah, he's getting on base and everything, but I think he's more comfortable in the four hole. Scott Kingery's kind of breaking out of his slump a little bit, but he did get hit on the elbow last night. So he's available to pinch hit tonight, but he's not in the starting lineup. And a little live update. Pedro Florimon just scored on an error in the top of the second inning, so the Phillies are now leading the Marlins 2-0 in the second inning. But yeah, I think, you know, and now with J.P. Crawford on the DL, they're a little bit less deep because they're going to have to use Florimon now. in the shortstop situations. They called up Jesmoa Valentin to be a bench guy. The Phillies just need to start winning games that they should win. Looking at their schedule coming up, it's only going to get harder until about mid-June. So they're going to have to start winning games convincingly, for sure, with everything going on with this team. Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta can only do so much. You saw Arrieta have a clunker the other night, and that's going to happen. You know, it happens to the best pitchers in the game. It happened to Clayton Kershaw the other night against the Diamondbacks. Last night, actually. You know, he kind of choked the game up a little bit. It's happened to him a lot this year. It happens to the best pitchers in the game. But looking at the Philly schedule going forward, after tonight, they have an off day tomorrow, and then they head to the nation's capital for three games against the Nationals. And then they come home for a seven-game homestand. They need to win five out of those seven games. Four against the Giants. I will be there with Alyssa on Tuesday, May 8th for her birthday. And we'll be taking in Phillies Giants for another Hatfield Dollar Dog Night that the Phillies so kindly do. Unfortunately, it's the last one of the season. I hate that they end them so early. Because who doesn't love Dollar Dogs? That's one of their best promotions. Have them run throughout the entire year. And then they have three against the Mets. So that's another divisional opponent who they're going to see for the first time since the beginning of the season, I believe, back in early April. You have to win these games against the NL East. So you have two NL East series coming up against the Nationals and the Mets. And then after the Mets, you go to the Orioles for two. You should win that easily. The Orioles are a terrible team. Show off to kind of build your Manny Machado stock. And then after Baltimore, you go to St. Louis for four against the Cardinals. And then you come home against the Braves again. They got to win two out of three there. I'll also be at that Braves game on the 23rd for Star Wars night. Definitely come join us for that. It's going to be a fun one. That might be an interesting game to take a look at for a possible Underground Sports parking lot podcast game. And then they have an off day on the 24th of May, and then Memorial Day weekend they're playing against the Blue Jays, and then they head out to LA to end the month for four against the Dodgers, which right now that doesn't look as scary as a series as it did coming into the year, but you never know. Things can change in the blink of an eye. So, you know, the Nationals, the Giants, the Mets, the Cardinals, the Braves, the Blue Jays are all playing really good baseball right now. You gotta assert your dominance as the Phillies. Be bold, as they've been saying all year, and kind of just go in and prove your worth, you know, show that you belong, and do what you got to do to win some games. On the other hand, Odubel Herrera is an all-star. He's an all-star, he's a gold glove candidate for sure. I'm going to pull up his stats right now because he's playing out of his mind. This is from Baseball Reference. So, looking at his stats for this season, right now, in 28 games played, he's at 115 plate appearances, 104 at-bats. He's got 35 hits, 5 doubles, 13 RBIs, 3 home runs. He's stolen one base. He's walked 9 times. He's got a .337 batting average. That's well above his career high, or his career average, I'm sorry. His highest batting average ever in a season was his rookie year when he finished batting .297. And that was in 537 plate appearances. And then his all-star year in 2016, he hit .286 with an on-base percentage of .361, which is his highest until now, where he's got an on-base percentage of .391. He's slugging .490, which is the highest of his career at this point. And he's got an OPS of .882, which is well above his career average of .781. His OPS plus is at .145, well above his career average of .110. And Odubel's just playing at an all-star level, man. He is fun to watch right now. He's making crazy plays in the outfield. He's getting on base. He's hitting, I think, like 31 straight games. I don't know if he's gotten a hit tonight. I'll have to check that for you guys right now because he's just playing out of his mind, and I love it. I'm the OG Odubel Herrera stan. I've been a fan of his since he got, you know, signed to the team as a Rule 5 draft pick. And as I'm pulling this up here real quick to see if Odubel has gotten a hit already tonight against the Marlins, because if he did, that's 32 straight, I think, which is unreal to think about. You know, 32 straight games of getting on base. So let's pull up the Philly stats here. Odubel Herrera, 0-0, so I don't know what he did, to be honest. Let's go to the plays to pull that up. All plays here. First inning, looks like he was up to bat. So, but yeah, getting back to Odubel, like, he's just playing at an all-star caliber level. I think that people need to jump off his back for, you know, hating on him for the minor mistakes that he makes. Sure, they happen. It happens to everybody, to be honest. And I think Odubel's just all around a really good baseball player. He's good at baseball, and a lot of people draw the comparison of Dario Saric getting hated on compared to him, and I can see it, but I think Odubel catches a lot of heat from people for the quote-unquote boneheaded plays that he makes, and I think that people just need to relax, because he's a Gold Glove center fielder, he's an all-star, and don't be surprised if the Phillies have about like 5 or 6 all-stars this year with Hoskins, Aaron Nola, Arrieta, Odubel, Cesar Hernandez. Michael Franco could end up there if he keeps playing well. So don't be surprised. The Phillies are well represented in D.C. this summer at the All-Star game. Not too much on the docket tonight, though, as I'm, you know, looking at some news. I'm going to try to pull anything up that may come across our Twitter feed. But also, a nice little announcement, too, in case you missed this on our Twitter or Facebook page. Tomorrow, we also have a show tomorrow from 9 to 2 at Staples in Millville for Small Business Day. We got invited to host a podcast from Staples. Granted, yes, it's my place of employment. Currently, outside of the podcast, I do work at Staples. But we're going to be hosting a show there tomorrow, 9 to 2. I don't know if anybody else will be joining me, but I'll definitely be there hosting a show. Pretty much an Ask Me Anything show. We're going to go through, talk about all 4 teams, see what's on the radar with all of them. You know, we have a Sixers game 2 tomorrow, so we'll definitely be diving into that. We'll talk about the Eagles a little bit more, talk about the Phillies if they end up winning tonight, and we'll recap that series a little bit, and then see what the Flyers do, because they have 2 first round picks this year. We'll see what they do with those. But yeah, so tomorrow from 9 to 2 we'll be live from Staples in Millville, so if you're in the area, come check us out, come say hello. If not, tune into the Facebook page. We'll be live for 5 hours, 5-hour show, after we just did an 8-hour show on Saturday. So yeah, we're doing marathon shows now, guys. But definitely tune in or come hang out at Staples tomorrow for Small Business Day and for a live podcast from a remote location. But yeah, I think, you know, with the Phillies, it's going to be fun. Don't worry. Don't panic on them. Don't panic about what's going on currently. They're going to turn things around. And as I'm looking here, Joe Giglio, he always live tweets the Phillies and everything during the games. And Cesar Hernandez obviously led the game off with a home run. Odubel has reached base safely in 32 consecutive games, guys. 32 consecutive games Odubel's reached base consecutively. And Nola's hitting 96 with his fastball and throwing a pretty filthy curveball, according to Joe Giglio on Twitter. And he's saying he's putting the league on notice about it. So that'll be interesting to see there. And also, go tweet at some people that you think we should be partnered up with, whether it's, you know, FanDuel, Draft, Tops, anybody like that. Go tweet them. Let them know about us. We want to expand our horizons into anything possible. And, you know, I think with the Phillies, it's going to be really, really fun once it starts getting hot outside, once the things start getting warm. Once we're home for a while, that 7-game homestand coming up is going to be key, and it's going to be fun. Don't worry, don't panic. And the Phillies Twitter is undefeated this year, as they just tweeted at the start of the game, play ball in the city where the heat is on, cause they're in Miami, and it's a picture of Odubel. Man, Phillies Twitter, if you don't follow them, go follow them at Phillies. They're great. And, I think, you know, it's Philadelphia sports, they're still on the rise from here. 2018 is our year, and it's going to be fun. But I think that might be all I have for you guys tonight. A little bit of a shorter show with Dom not here because, again, he's on a cross-country Tinder date, as we all know. He likes to venture on those, but break out the milk cartons to find Dom as we're sitting here in about 45 minutes going live. But, yeah, Eagles draft recap was fun. If you guys have any more thoughts on, you know, Eagles draft, NFC East draft, tweet at me at KBIZZL311 or at Underground PHI. We'll definitely talk draft on there. We'll talk Phillies. Tweet at me, you know, anytime. Tweet at the show anytime. We'll definitely hold a conversation with you. But like I said, Eagles, they're going to be a force. Phillies, don't worry. They just need to start winning the games that they should be winning. And it's going to be fun. But also, before we wrap things up, I want to thank you guys because you came up clutch. So we did meet our April merch goal. So we got our $200 in sales, so that means we're going to be doing a giveaway. I'm going to talk to our account rep later this week and see what we can set up, but there will be an exclusive giveaway of one of our shirts or our, any part of apparel or anything from our page. We're working to get our snake design that we uploaded last week back up. It was taken down thanks to the man in the mask, who will go unnamed currently. But we're working to get that back up and running, as well as our Phantom of the Process shirt. So hopefully they'll be back up soon. We also launched our first shirts of the month of May, the Supreme Philly package. It's Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, and Sixers all up there. So definitely go check those out. They're on sale for the next like day and a half for up to 30% off for the shirts. $14 tees, you can't beat it. And they're perfect for spring. So definitely go check those out. But we will be doing the exclusive giveaway as well, since you guys helped us meet our merch goal and helped us, you know, by supporting the show, by buying some merch, buying apparel, all that good stuff. So we definitely appreciate it. So thank you guys for supporting us in that way. And just keep it coming, because it's only going to help us upgrade the show more and more and more. So stay tuned for the giveaway. Come tweet at me after the show. We'll talk sports. It's at KBIZZL311 or at Underground PHI. You can tweet at either one. We'll talk sports after the show, since it is a little bit of a shorter show tonight. But thank you guys for tuning in. And Saturday, we'll have a recap of Game 1 and Game 2 of the Sixers with Matt and Dom. Maybe I'll chime in, since, you know, our awesome sponsors helped us get more microphones, so we definitely can have more people on the show. And then might dive into some Flyers talk as well. Now that the draft order is kind of determined, the Flyers have their two picks, so we'll figure all of that out with Dylan and Dom as well. Hopefully he'll be back from being across the country on his Tinder date. But shout out to everybody that tuned in tonight on the Facebook, and shout out to anybody listening on the SoundCloud replay. We greatly appreciate it, and you guys are the best. So tune in Saturday for Sixers Saturday and Flyers Afternoon Skate, and we'll be back tomorrow as well. Tune in tomorrow, 9 to 2 from Staples in Millville. I'll be live doing an Ask Me Anything kind of show, talking about all things Philadelphia sports for 5 hours from Staples in Millville, 9 to 2. Come hang out with me, tune in, all that good stuff. But I'll see you guys tomorrow, bright and early, and we'll also see you on Saturday for our regularly scheduled program. This has been another Wednesday edition of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for the support. And be sure to leave those 5-star reviews, because it definitely helps the show. We're working towards getting on iTunes. And definitely leave those. Leave the comments. All that good stuff. Reviews. But we'll see you guys tomorrow from Staples in Millville. Peace.